You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, Wisconsin? Happy Thursday, everybody. It's Friday Eve. Almost through another week of Donald Trump. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And as I do most Thursdays that I am in good luck graces, I am joined by my special guest co-host this Thursday, Tom Paulswitz, a two-time congressional candidate, small business owner, and Navy vet. Welcome back to the show, Tom.
Good to be here. Just barely made it myself, so that's good. Yep.
Hey, we're here. Each and every one of you. If you want to join our conversation this afternoon, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75 Civic. Tom, of course, we're going to get to the Supreme Court debate.
Yes.
We're going to discuss that with our special guest, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler.
Mr. Wickler, yes.
Fantastic. Mr. Wickler, yep. Coming up at 2:30 this afternoon. So we're going to save that, folks, if you want to give your opinions about the race. You got some great ad ideas for Judge Susan Crawford. Get all those questions and comments ready. Again, we'll be joined by chair of the Wisconsin Dems, Ben Wickler, at 2:30. But I wanted to start out with a story that's gotten some coverage, Tom, but not nearly enough, in my opinion. And this is the executive order that dropped last week, Thursday, where Donald Trump is specifically attacking one single law firm,
yes,
by the name of Perkins Coie. But of course, we had a little bit of breaking news before we were getting on air today. A federal judge in California, Judge William Alsup, mm-hmm, has been hearing the case about the mass firings of probationary and other employees. He was ticked off, I guess would be a very clean FCC appropriate way to put it.
Yes.
Basically going after the U.S. Department of Justice and its lawyers for trying to keep the information that the judge would need to rule on the matter, to rule on the preliminary injunction, to stop the firings, or at least halt them temporarily, yes, keeping information from him. He said, the government, I believe, has tried to frustrate my ability to get at what happened here. He said the terminations were unlawful, that OPM didn't have the authority to do this. This is the Office of Personnel Management housed within the White House. This ruling is reaching the Department of Defense, the Department of Energy, Interior, Treasury, and Agriculture. Holy cow. Pretty clear, Tom. Any immediate reactions to what is pretty substantial news that will frustrate the Doge chainsaw approach to trying to lean and mean the federal government?
Yeah, and here's the thing I've been thinking about is, you know, where's the enforcement of these decisions? Because it just seems to me that the Trump administration has, you know, they've won a few court battles, they've lost a lot of court battles, but it doesn't seem like it's stopping them in any way, shape, or form from doing what they want to do anyway. So, part of my brain's going, so what? You know, because they're going to continue to do what they're doing unless there's a better enforcement method to say this judge is serious. You cannot continue to do this, or they should halt until there's some kind of extra ruling on this. But that's not what's happening. And Maggie, you know, being an attorney yourself, what are the enforcement mechanisms that we as citizens should be looking for to see that something can actually be done?
Tom, I'm so glad you brought this up because, again, these things that appear to be disparate or disconnected actually aren't, right? Yes. So what you've had are literally countless federal judges. Federal judges appointed by Donald Trump himself, federal judges appointed by Democrats and Republicans,
yep,
wading into what is the chainsaw, whiplash, no apparent plan other than break everything as right, fast as we possibly can, approach of the Musk-Trump billionaire overlord duo, wading in and saying this is unconstitutional. You don't have the authority to do that. Issuing right, all of these orders. We had one that made its way all the way up to the Supreme Court about a week ago. This was the case about the USAID foreign aid.
Yep.
A majority of the court saying you have to obey this federal judge's ruling. And yet
money has not been released.
Correct. So all of this, I just want to, my appeal to everybody listening. And again, if you are a caller, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, if you're a conservative, you're going to go to the front of the line, as well as vets and women, first-time callers. Because someone tell me, if you, conservatives, rule of law people, right?
Yes.
Except when it's your guy? This is, you know, people have talked about a slow moving constitutional crisis, a slow coup. That is, I think that is a completely accurate description. When the executive branch of government, led by the president of the United States, who swears an oath to uphold and honor the laws,
yes,
which therefore by extension must include the orders of duly appointed, duly confirmed Article III federal judges, even when you don't like their orders, and you are openly flouting that, even when the Supreme Court has said you have to do this.
Yes.
How now, Romeo? Like, what's, I just.
Well, how many injunctions, how many injunctions is this administration currently ignoring? Because I haven't seen it.
Probably east, northward of 30
probably
would be my ballpark guess.
I don't know if anybody's tracking them necessarily to say, here's the running total of how many there are, but it's significant.
It's a big number. One of the people that is tracking them is a guy by the name of Mark Elias.
Yes.
He runs an organization called Democracy Docket, and it's literally dedicated to tracking these kinds of pieces of litigation, as well as the abomination that's occurred in North Carolina related to an election won fair and square by the liberal Supreme Court justice.
Right.
And yet she has not been seated. This election goes back to November.
Right.
He tracks all of these kinds of cases. This is really bad. And one of the things that I just wanted to address briefly is I've heard repeatedly from conservatives, what about Biden and the student loan, you know, like take two? I was like, Biden followed court orders on student loan injunction, yes, take one. He did exactly what Trump is not doing.
Right.
He followed the law. Yes. When he tried to address student loan forgiveness the second time around, he tried it under a different legal mechanism. So he actually was following the law, was following court orders.
He essentially never forgave a bunch of loans that he wanted to because he followed court orders. Now, what we're really saying here is he should have just gone ahead and forgiven the loans because the enforcement right, mechanism is just not there right now. But Maggie, I'll challenge you on one thing. You said this is a slow, sure, this is a slow moving coup.
Oh, maybe a fast moving.
This is a fast moving coup, right? Because this is part of the process of saying, and this is why I don't understand why Democratic senators are even debating whether they should pass this continuing resolution or not, is because they're not funding the government anyways. So they are already shutting down the government. So, you know, to blame the Democrats if they don't pass this continuing resolution, I think is just it's horse hockey because it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference at all compared to what they're already doing because they're already ignoring the law.
Yes. And again, that's how all of these things connect together, yes, right?
Exactly.
It's flouting the rule of law, having no respect for judicial decision making,
right,
which to this degree has not happened in modern American a political history.
I'm not sure it's ever happened. I mean,
not to this degree.
Not to this degree, right.
You can go back to the Andrew Jackson, like, now they've made their ruling, let them enforce it.
Right.
But listen, folks, I don't think we should be taking our precedents from, you know, the 1800s, including Wisconsin's purported 1849 abortion ban, because, you know, women didn't have the chance to vote back then.
Yes.
Oh, and neither did Black folks. So, like, let's take a pause. That's not a good precedent.
Right.
But here's the through line, right? You have the Trump administration flouting court orders. By the way, you asked a question about, well, what recourse? Like, how do they actually get enforced? Mm-hmm. The ultimate enforcement mechanism is actually like U.S. Marshals.
Right.
Being ordered to physically intercede, which would require extensive discovery of the government, which they would actually have to participate in to figure out, like, who is the person that's going to have a U.S. Marshal stand over them while they press the enter button to release the USAID funds.
And aren't the U.S. Marshals under the executive branch?
And there you go, Tom. And there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So who do they ultimately, this is why every single one of Donald Trump's appointees to his cabinet,
yes,
that had any even tangential ability to touch law enforcement or the military were asked the questions over and over again, which they refused to answer nearly uniformly. If you are given an unconstitutional order, what will you do? And listen, there are arguments that are being made every day in courts. One call, and this is the one that was ruled upon yesterday, where Donald Trump issued an executive order targeting and basically blackballing a law firm.
Yes.
Because the firm,
a private law firm,
because they had taken up clients and had engaged in work for clients like Hillary Clinton, basically like, I don't like your clients, so I'm going to attack this law firm. The judge asked the lawyer for the Trump administration in a hearing this week, what possibly is the justification for Donald Trump blackballing and targeting a single individual law firm? What's to prevent that? That's a speech impediment. It's a per se violation of your First Amendment rights.
Correct.
What presumption? What rule of law? What constitutional principle are you operating under to defend this action? And the lawyer for the Trump administration said that the president should be trusted in all matters relating to whether or not certain organizations are supporting the United States, to which the judge replied, that sends chills down my spine.
Yes.
Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. We've got Tom P. with me in the booth. Little Thursday action here on the Maggie Dawn Show. We continue this conversation when we get back. Join us, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We discuss the unraveling and what it means to you when we return after these brief messages.
Keep running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Back, everybody. Welcome. If you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Thursday. That means I've got my good friend and yours, Tom Paulswitz, with me in the booth, coming to you from 5:40 a.m. WAUK all across southeastern Wisconsin. But not to worry, folks, if you're outside of that listening area, just download the Civic Media app and you can take Tom and I with you wherever you may be. We're talking this first half hour of the show about the lawlessness of the Trump administration. Gone is the idea that Republicans are the party of law and order. There is absolutely no justification, no reasonable legal justification, no reasonable legal defense of Donald Trump on a near daily basis violating the most basic foundational principles of our constitutional republic, perhaps none most notably than the First Amendment. Now, over the past 2 weeks, Donald Trump continues to violate the First Amendment rights of law firms, their clients. He continues to target employees unlawfully, depriving them of due process. And of course, he's now targeting a man who engaged in and led pro-Gaza protests at Columbia University, who is a legal resident of the United States. He has a green card. He is married to an American citizen. He is a student at Columbia University. He has now been arrested, is basically in a holding cell, has not been able, the last I checked as of like 9 a.m. this morning, has not been able to have a single protected and confidential discussion with his lawyers, has been deprived of the right to counsel, though he is a legal resident of these United States, and he's being threatened with deportation because he spoke his mind about the situation in Gaza during the protests at Columbia University.
Right.
Now, whatever your view is, right, like, you're deporting someone because they expressed a viewpoint that you don't like, sure seems to me to be pretty clearly unconstitutional.
And he's a green card holder.
Correct. He's a legal resident.
He's currently a legal resident, and he has not been charged with a crime. He is being held. He was moved out of state, so he went from New York State down to Louisiana, and he has been denied access to an attorney. And the Trump administration is like, this is what we're going to do. You go ahead and try to stop us.
And this is all part of, you know, order after order being issued by federal judges. The president is sworn to uphold these laws and the Constitution. He's on a daily basis violating his oath. I said it after the meeting in the Oval Office with President Zelensky. We have now reached impeachment territory. It's only become worse every day since then. And I want to point out this executive order, which names a law firm called Perkins Coie, is absolutely unheard of. It's trying to strip security clearances, bar them from ever doing any work, bar anyone who's ever worked for the firm from ever being hired by the federal government. I mean,
right.
It's completely bananas. Here's some of the other language that a federal court judge used just yesterday to grant the motion for a preliminary injunction brought by Perkins Coie to stop any purported enforcement of this executive order targeting them. Not only sends chills down my spine, this is a punishment for a singled out entity for being politically, personally disloyal.
Yes.
If the Queen of Hearts yells off with their heads, that cannot be our reality.
But Maggie, you know why this is happening, right? So it's not necessarily this law
firm. To scare lawyers.
It's to scare lawyers to be able to say, because we're talking about lawsuits. I don't know the exact number of lawsuits that have been filed against the Trump administration since the inauguration day. But it's meant to bring a chill throughout the legal world to say we should think twice, because our equity may be at stake, our ability to make a living may be at stake, and this is purposeful. This is why they're doing it, and because they're not only doing it from a legal standpoint, they're doing it from a DEI standpoint. They're doing it from the protests. They're also doing it with money. Taking the
Correct.
$400 million away from Columbia University is another indicator that if you don't play along, we're going to use the power of the purse string in order to make you play along.
It's working.
Yes.
Like, this is the thing that freaks me out so bad. The judge calling this Perkins Coie executive order an extreme, unprecedented effort.
Yes.
That will affect a blizzard of blizzard proportions that will inhibit access to the legal profession. The chilling effect of this EO threatens to significantly undermine the integrity of our entire legal system. I know for a fact, I've been on calls with government lawyers from other jurisdictions shutting down DEI programs, yep, afraid to spend a penny because they might get federal grant funding yanked.
Right.
Yeah. Lawyers running for the hills. Again, they came for the communists, right? And right. I said nothing.
But it's lawyers running for the hills. It's reporters running for the hills. It's journalism. It's cascading. But here's the thing. This is right out of the Trump playbook. He said he was going to do this. But to me, and one of the things I'd love to talk about after we have on Ben Wickler, because Ben's conversation is going to be critical to how do states, yes, fight back. But to me, the question is why is there so much cowardice? Why is there so much cowardice when it comes to our institutions of learning, when it comes to our healthcare system, when it comes to the banking system, when it comes to, you know, you name it. And one of the things that I want to talk about at some point is just the energy industry, how excited they are to stop talking about climate change as if that's somehow going to go away. Because
right,
if we just
don't say
talk
the words,
about it, right?
Right, right. If we basically ban transgender right. people, they won't exist
won't
anymore.
Exist. Right. So those are the things that I think we really need to talk about.
Dave from New Berlin saying this, freedom of speech is fine as long as you say what I allow you to say. Yeah, yes, Dave, that is exactly. It. Our discussion continues with Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. What does Elon Musk's more than $11 million in ad buy expenditures right. in favor of Brad Schimmel, who's pledged to be supportive of Trump's agenda, has supported his pardons
yes.
of men that have beaten cops on January 6th. What does it mean for the rule of law and good government here in the state of Wisconsin? We pick that discussion up with Ben and Tom and you after these brief messages right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Thursday, so I've got congressional candidate Tom Paulswitz with me, small business owner, Navy vet, and we are happy to be joined by chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler. Welcome back to The Maggie Dawn Show, Ben. Let's just jump in. We have a billionaire overlord that wants to pick this state's next Supreme Court justice, and I've been talking to a lot of my friends about this. Most importantly, some of my conservative friends as well. And I'd like you to address the thing that I hear in response all of the time when I say, why should we let a billionaire overlord just handpick our next Supreme Court justice, especially one that has a case that's pending in Wisconsin courts that's likely to make its way up to the Supreme Court? And they all say, but George Soros, can you please respond to this whataboutism and this, I'm going to say, false equivalency that's offered as a defense of Musk's over $11 million spend in this Supreme Court election?
So there's one person who's operating as the de facto president of the United States, who is slashing Social Security, gutting cancer research, gutting the Veterans Administration, and posting on the massive social media platform that he bought that judges should be impeached if they get in the way while he undermines and shreds the United States Constitution. That person is poured $10 million into Brad Schimmel's campaign. There is no one else who is destroying the country with this kind of velocity and viciousness, with the possible exception of Donald Trump himself, who is not endorsed in the race. His hatchet man, his bag man, yes, Elon Musk, is the one who is pouring himself into winning this. So that is different from every other person who's contributing on either side. Now, it's also the case that Elon Musk has put in, as far as we can tell, at least five times as much as any other donor on either side. The second biggest donor in this election is Dick and Liz Uline.
Yes.
Call them one donor or two donors. They put in far more than George Soros. They're the founders of Stop the Steal. But you know what? as much as I think their politics are terrible and they're bad for the country, they're not running the United States government right now and threatening to dismember the judiciary alongside programs that working families across our state need. So if you want to do a what about, you could say, well, you got the Ulines, the forces of darkness who funded Stop the Steal and tried to overturn the presidential election on one side. And you have George Soros, who, you know, supports free and fair elections in the United States and around the world on the other side. But there's something in a completely different category, which is Elon Musk. Yes. Elon Musk is threatening the very foundations of the American experiment at the same time as he's attacking the fundamental function of the United States government to support, you know, regular folks, non-billionaires all over the country. And by the way, Elon Musk also, unlike every other major donor in the race that I know of, has a case that serves his own bottom line that will probably reach the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So he's personally invested in making himself money while ripping away money that everyone else in this country
yes.
relies on for things like predicting the weather so you can grow your crops. That is why there's nothing like what Musk is doing, and there never has been in a Wisconsin Supreme Court election.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yep.
So people know the scale here. My first response is always, I think money in politics is terrible, and I support a constitutional amendment to get it out of our politics because it's corrupting. Okay, so let's agree on that. Now let's talk about the scale of the corrupting influence, because there's simply no comparison in this race. I went to a bunch of independent sources today to try to get sort of like the tally of where the spends stand today. Elon Musk is at 11 million. America PAC at over 6.18 million. Building America's Future, over 3.96 million. That totals together over 11 million. We haven't gotten to the Elines yet, who, by the way, brought workers from Mexico to work in their U.S.-based manufacturing plants, but paid them Mexican wages in violation of U.S. labor laws and then shipped them back. So, yeah, lots to talk about there. That's 11 million. The Soros money that I could even track, because he's given up control of a lot of the PACs that he started a decade ago because the guy's aging very quickly. It's like maybe 2 mil that I could find. It's not even clear. So like the scale is just not comparable. Then you layer on what is the objective and who holds the reins of power, who is actually calling the shots in our government today. They're not comparable. Tom, I know you've got a couple of questions.
Yeah. Trump bought a Tesla and Musk gave him $100 million. I mean, what is he expecting to get out of Wisconsin if for whatever reason he wins, which I don't think he will. But Ben, you know, at some point, you know, it's good to remind people that Schimmel lost a statewide election not too long ago. And it seems like people have forgotten that. You know, we had Judge Crawford on a couple of weeks ago, and it seemed like she had to bring up the same stuff that Josh Call had to bring up in order to overcome Schimmel and put a Democrat in that attorney general seat. But what do you say to people who, like, don't remember who Brad Schimmel is?
So Brad Schimmel was the attorney general under Scott Walker, who led the attacks on abortion and reproductive freedom. There's a case called Planned Parenthood versus Brad Schimmel. He said he was honored to have his name in the case. And by the way, the lawyer for Planned Parenthood in that race, Susan Crawford, the candidate that we're supporting in this race. Brad Schimmel defended Scott Walker's corruption. He defended the gerrymandered maps. He defended the voter suppression. He actually lost a case that Susan Crawford led that tried to prevent people from being able to access a free voter ID, which you'd think if what you're interested in is election security, getting people IDs so they could vote would make a lot of sense. He was on the other side of that. He famously sat on 6,000 untested sexual assault kits.
Yes.
Didn't lift a finger to get resources from the state legislature. He told Jill Karofsky, who was the head of the crime victims department in the Department of Justice at that time, that if she wanted to test those rape kits, she'd have to go raise the money for it. She'd have to go write grants and get someone else to fund it, because he wasn't going to go over and ask the legislature. He only started testing those rape kits once he took political heat from it.
Yes.
He's somebody like he's mega, mega, mega. His team led the charge that they designed the legal strategy that ended Roe versus Wade. And meanwhile, he's a guy who sued to kill the Affordable Care Act and has this relentless record of he said he was suing Obama every second, that he was just using his office for partisan attacks. Yes. And that's what he's done at every phase of his career. And now he said that he's crawling around on knee pads, begging donors to get involved in his race because his donor base sees this as a chance to take back the court,
right,
which also says something about how they used to see the court. that this is somebody who is begging for Donald Trump to endorse him and says that Trump needs a support network in the courts. The only way that he can get wins is if the attacks on Trump stop in the courts. So he's basically signaling that he'll do whatever Trump wants. And he said that Trump was screwed over in 2020 by this courts. Well, in 2020, our Supreme Court didn't overturn the presidential election. And he's asked whether he thinks that was the right decision. And he said he doesn't know.
Yes.
If you want a case study in MAGA extremism and attacks on healthcare and reproductive freedom in doing the bidding of right-wing billionaires, Donald Trump himself, in turning what should be a nonpartisan office into a political weapon at the hands of far-right extremists, Brad Schimmel is your guy. If you want anything else, it's Susan Crawford.
I'll just add this. As a lawyer, I can vehemently disagree with certain lawyers' positions. And I can have begrudging respect if they are showing fidelity to the rule of law, are skilled lawyers and or jurists, judges. I'm also going to layer this one on top of all this. Brad Schimmel is a dummy. This is not a smart man. He when things are extraordinarily plain under state statute, he still gets them wrong, which is why ask lawyers. If you're a conservative, ask lawyers quietly off the record. Ask judges that sit on the same county circuit court as Judge Schimmel does today in Waukesha County. Ask them quietly off the record what they think of Brad Schimmel as a legal mind. The reason that he's lost so many of these cases and that he's salivating at the opportunity to be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court is that not only can he do the political bidding, he's the last word on things. So he doesn't even have to be a good lawyer or judge anymore. He can just make crud up. And here is the case that I think makes that so abundantly clear. He has been reversed on appeal by the most conservative or one of the most conservative appeals courts in the state in his completely bogus interpretation of the one toothiest law in the state of Wisconsin that ensures that every single person in this state, every regular person, can hold their government accountable. And that is our sunshine laws and our open meetings laws.
Yes.
He couldn't even read the English words in the statute correctly. The guy is a dummy. And when you got a dummy who's also a partisan hack, that is the most dangerous combination, who's willing to literally say on the record, please, please, please give me money. Oh, Elon Musk, yes, I'll be happy to support your and Mr. Trump's agenda. It's an abomination.
Absolutely. Yep.
When we step back from all of this, Ben, and you know, every election cycle we hear, it's so important. It's so important. It's more important than the next. I was speaking to a group of folks yesterday at MATC, a get out the vote and voter awareness event. And I made that argument again, that this is an incredibly consequential election. And that if we'd like to return and maintain Wisconsin as a reasonable place where we can have these reasonable disagreements and we don't have naked partisanship in our courts, this is the time for voters and conservatives as well, Democrats as well, everybody to stand up and say, we want functional government, including the Supreme Court and the state. What do you say to people who are fatigued, Ben, who are so tired and would rather just check out?
Well, I mean, first, I get it. How could any of us not be exhausted at this point? But secondly, Elon Musk is relying on people being too tired to resist. He posts about how he works through the weekend. And it's like, he said, it's like getting a head start on the other team. He is working through the weekend to destroy Social Security, to destroy Medicaid and Medicare, to undermine the Department of Education, things that people rely on to make sure that their water is safe. Like, this is exactly his strategy, is to exhaust us and overwhelm us. And in the next 19 days, we alone in the country, in Wisconsin, we have the chance to defeat Elon Musk and Brad Schimmel, his right hand, and demonstrate that our side can actually fight and win despite the millions of dollars that they can pump in. And when we do that, it has not only a huge long-term effect on Wisconsin to prevent the re-gerrymandering of our state, to ensure a state Supreme Court actually believes in our Constitution, the rule of law, freedom, justice, democracy, but it also shows the whole country that supporting Elon Musk as he wreaks havoc on working families across our state and our country, that siding with Elon Musk might be politically bad for your health. Republicans in Congress right now are just rolling over. They're allowing their constituents to be ripped off and hurt and attacked because they're afraid of crossing Elon Musk and because they think that Musk can defend them from an enraged citizenry. But the reality is we're going to show on April 1st that the public has the final say. And I think that's a message the country needs to hear. They need to see that whatever Musk spends in a race like this, it's not enough to buy off the voters themselves who get to decide who holds power in this country. And when we fight back and when we win, we can re-energize those who share our values, who believe this country should work for everyone, not just for a handful of far-right billionaires, and show Republicans that they should run screaming from Musk's side and divorce themselves from this shotgun marriage that he's arranged if they want to hold on to their jobs in 2026.
Yeah, exactly. And Ben, this is another spring election, yet it's still incredibly important. What's the message to get people to make sure they go out and vote? What is the party doing? What is everybody doing on the ground to make sure people realize they have to vote in this one?
So the first message for Democrats is exactly what I've been saying, that this is Trump and Musk's right hand, who wants to use the courts as a partisan weapon to eliminate any accountability and to support them as they shred Social Security, attack unions, undermine working families across the state. The second thing is, if you want an abortion ban, vote for abortion ban Brad. And if you think we should have reproductive freedom that is based in our Constitution, support Susan Crawford in this election. And the third is, bring friends to the polls.
Bring friends. That's the key, right? Bring everybody you know, bring everybody you can.
Folks, that is Ben Wickler, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Thanks so much, Ben. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side with each and every one of you. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. My name's Maggie Dawn. Brad Schimmel, the shameless shill for Elon Musk and our billionaire overlord. I don't think he should be picking who's on our Supreme Court. And he's a dummy. My thoughts. More when we return right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got Tom Paulswitz with me this afternoon as my guest co-host, and our biggest thanks to Ben Wickler, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, for being here with each and every one of you and us to talk about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. We'd like to take your calls, get some of your thoughts on where that race stands. I'd also like to address some of the allegations, some of the claims that are being made by both of the candidates. What did you think of the debate last night? Did it change your mind about anything? Was it what you expected? 855-752-4842. I'm going to double down on this. Not only do I think Brad Schimmel is a terrible, bad lawyer and that he's kind of a dummy as a lawyer, I'm going to make this statement. If Brad Schimmel had to actually take a bar exam, he wouldn't pass it. He would not pass it. Brad Schimmel is admitted to the bar of the state of Wisconsin because he had diploma privilege. It means you don't have to sit for the bar exam. Now, I didn't either. I was admitted to the Wisconsin bar because I attended Wisconsin Law School, completed my core requirements, passed the ethics exam. However, I'm also barred in six other states and have taken two other bar exams and passed one with basically 24 hours worth of studying when I was in the midst of like massive litigation.
So, Maggie, just a quick question for you. Is the ethics exam a requirement?
It is. Okay. For almost every single state's bar, including Wisconsin's.
Is there a polygraph test that goes along with that ethics
there
exam?
There should be. There should be, Tom, 855-752-4842.
I wanted to ask Ben this question, but I'll ask you instead, Maggie, because, you know, the Republicans seem to have run a slew of, I would say, not top-notch candidates for the state Supreme Court. I don't understand the dynamics.
Detestable Dan Kelly? Yeah. Schimmel the shameless shill? I mean,
But I don't understand, like, what are they, I know why they want that person in there, but how do they expect that person to win votes if they can't seem credible and they can't actually articulate their positions?
I find it disturbing. And again, if you're a conservative, I ask you, just read through the histories of Brad Schimmel and yes. Susan Crawford.
Right.
Listen to what they have said. One of them, you can disagree with her personal political beliefs.
Right.
One of them actually sounds like a Supreme Court justice who is actually at least trying to give people the assurance that she will be independent and objective and not execute simply on her personal political beliefs.
And it's a nonpartisan race. There is no D or R associated with the candidates.
But Schimmel's out there saying Donald Trump needs a support network and I'll be that on the Supreme Court. That's not what a justice is made of.
Right.
We got a new caller, Stephen from Cudahy. Say hi to Tom. What's your comment or question this afternoon?
Hello, Maggie Dunn. It's your favorite Milwaukee County Supervisor, Stephen Shea.
Stephen.
Hi, Mr. Shea. How are you?
I'm okay. And yourself?
I'm doing well. Nice to hear from you, sir. What's your question or comment? Thank you for calling.
Well, sure. I've been out doing doors for this race every weekend. And the scary part is it doesn't seem to be on a lot of people's radar so far,
yes.
even with the super intensive commercials. And, you know, that one ad that the Republicans are running, Catch and Release Crawford, they're trying to do exactly to Crawford what they did to Mandela Barnes, you know. Soft on crime, you know. So, but I agree completely with your analysis of the debate. I thought Crawford cleaned his clock, but, you know, whether or not other people are going to agree with me, I can't say for sure.
And whether enough people watched it is going to be
right.
The key. Yep.
Thank you, Supervisor Shea. Let's just take up a few of these. The allegations that have been made against Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel. First of all, Susan Crawford has never, ever advocated for stopping deportations. She has never said that I'm going to protect sanctuary cities. She's never taken any position on that. Did she sentence a child sex offender to 4 years in prison and 6 years supervised release after a prosecutor asked for 10 years? Yeah, she sure did. Brad Schimmel has made all kinds of sentencing decisions. And in fact, this is kind of weird. He offered a plea deal to a man charged with child porn in the year before he won the attorney general's race. Okay. And interestingly enough, the guy who he just, you know, little plea deal, no sentence. Here is what actually happened. The guy's lawyer donated, basically maxed out donations to Schimmel's AG campaign. Coincidence, perhaps. But again, child porn, plea deal. And just to be clear, in exchange for the man pleading guilty to the charge, Schimmel agreed not to file more charges and recommended the mandatory minimum 3-year prison sentence. This is when he was Waukesha County's DA. So, yeah. We're going to discuss more. We're going to return to the Elon Musk of it all with Tom Paulsiewicz and each and every one of you. Join our conversation, 855-752-4842. When we come back after these brief messages, you're going to hear news, weather, and sports, and then more from Tom and I and each one of you right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.